Side 15. I've been daydreaming, not for the first time, about living with GP. He deceives me. He leaves me. He's brutal and cynical with me. I'm in despair. In these daydreams, there isn't much sex. It's just our living together. In rather romantic surroundings. Sea and island northern landscapes. White cottages. Sometimes in the Mediterranean. We're together. Very close in spirit. All silly magazine stuff, really, in the details. But there is the closeness of spirit. That's something real. And the situations I imagine where he forsakes me are real. I mean, it kills me to think of them. Sometimes, I'm not very far from utter despair. No one knows I'm alive anymore. I'm given up for dead by now. I'm accepted for dead. There's that, the real situation. And there are the future situations I sit on the bed here and think about. My utter love for some man. I know I can't do things like love by halves. I know I have love pent up in me. Oh, I shall throw myself away, lose my heart and my body and my mind and soul to some cat like GP who will betray me. I feel it. Everything is tender and rational at first in my daydreams of living with him. But I know it wouldn't be, in fact. It would be all passion and violence. Jealousy. Despair. Sour. Something would be killed in me. He would be hurt, too. If he really loved me, he couldn't have sent me away. If he really loved me, he would have sent me away. November 27th. Midnight. I'll never escape. It drives me mad. I must do something. I feel as if I'm at the Earth's heart. I've got the whole weight of the whole earth pressing in on this little box. It grows smaller, smaller, smaller. I can feel it contracting. I want to scream sometimes. Till my voice is raw to death. I can't write. There aren't the words. Utter despair. I've been like that all day, a kind of endless panic in slow motion. What can he have thought when he first got me here? Something's gone wrong in his plans. I'm not acting like the girl of his dreams I was. I'm his pig in a poke. Is that why he keeps me? Hoping the dream Miranda will appear? Perhaps I should be his dream girl. Put my arms round him and kiss him. Praise him, pat him, stroke him, kiss him. I didn't mean that, but it's made me think. Perhaps I really should kiss him. More than kiss him. Love him. Make Prince Charming step out. I'm thinking hours between each sentence I write. I've got to make him feel that finally I've been touched by his chivalry and so on and so on. Oh, this is extraordinary. He would have to act. I'm sure I could do it. At least he's scrupulously clean. He never smells of anything but soap. I'm going to sleep on it. November 28th. I've come to a tremendous decision today. I've imagined being in bed with him. It's useless just kissing him. I've got to give him such a tremendous shock that he'll have to release me. Because you can't very well imprison someone who's given herself to you. I shall be in his power. I couldn't ever go to the police. I should only want to hush it up. It's so obvious. It stares one in the face, like a really good sacrifice at chess. It's like drawing. You can't nibble at a line. The boldness is the line. I thought out all the sex facts. I wish I knew a little more about men. I wish I was absolutely sure that I didn't have to go on things heard, read, half understood. But I'm going to let him do what Piers wanted to do in Spain. What they call Scotch love. Get me into bed if he wants. Play with me if he wants. But not the final thing. I'm going to tell him it's my time of the month if he tries to go too far. But I think he'll be so shocked that I shall be able to make him do what I want. I mean, I'm going to do all the seducing. I know it would be a terrible risk with 99 men out of 100. But I think he's the 100th. He'll stop when I tell him. Even if it came to the point, he didn't stop. I'd take the risk. There are two things. One's the need to make him let me go. The other's me. Something I wrote on November the 7th. I love being to the full. I love everything which is not sitting and watching. But I'm not being to the full at all. I'm just sitting and watching. Not only here, with GP. All this vestal virgin talk about saving yourself up for the right man, I've always despised it. Yet I've always held back. I mean, with my body. I've got to get this meanness out of the way. I've got sunk in a sort of despair. Something will happen, I say. But nothing will unless I make it. I must act. Another thing I wrote. One writes things, and the implications shriek. It's like suddenly realizing one's deaf. I must fight with my weapons, not his. Not selfishness and brutality and shame and resentment. Therefore, with generosity, I give myself. And gentleness, I kiss the beast. And no shame, I do what I do of my own free will. And forgiveness! He can't help himself. Even a baby. His baby. Anything. For freedom. The more I think about it, the more I feel sure that this is the way. He has some secret. He must want me physically. Perhaps he's no good. Whatever it is, it will come out. We'll know where we are. I haven't written much about GP these last days, but I think about him a great deal. The first and last thing I look at every day is his picture. I begin to hate that unknown girl who was his model. He must have gone to bed with her. Perhaps she was his first wife. I shall ask him when I get out. Because the first thing I shall do, the first real positive thing, after I've seen the family, will be to go and see him. To tell him that he's always been in my thoughts. That he is the most important person I've ever met. The most real. That I am jealous of every woman who has ever slept with him. I still can't say that I love him. Now I begin to see that it's because I don't know what love is. I'm Emma, with her silly little clever theories of love and marriage. And love is something that comes in different clothes, with a different way and different face. And perhaps it takes a long time for you to accept it, to be able to call it love. Perhaps he would be dry and cold when it came to it. Say I'm too young, he wasn't ever really serious, and, oh, a thousand things. But I'm not afraid. I would risk it. Perhaps he's in mid-affair with somebody else. I'd say, I've come back because I'm not sure anymore that I'm not in love with you. I'd say, I've been naked with a man I loathed. I've been at bottom. I'd let him have me. But I still couldn't bear to see him sneaking off with someone else, reducing it all to sex. I should wither up and die inside if he did. I know it's not very emancipated of me. This is what I feel. Sex doesn't matter. Love does. This afternoon, I wanted to ask Caliban to post a letter to GP from me. Quite mad. Of course he wouldn't. He'd be jealous. But I so need to be walking up the stairs and pushing open the studio door and seeing him at his bench, looking over his shoulder at me, as if he's not in the least interested to see who it is. Standing there with his faint smile and eyes that understand things so quickly. It is useless. I'm thinking of the price before the painting tomorrow. I must act now. I started today, really. I called him Ferdinand, not Caliban, 3 times, and complimented him on a horrid new tie. I've smiled at him. I've dutifully tried to look as if I like everything about him. He certainly hasn't given any sign of having noticed it. But he won't know what's hit him tomorrow. I can't sleep. I've got up again and put on GP's clavichord record. Perhaps he's been listening to it too, and thinking of me. The invention I like best is the one after the one he loves best. He loves the 5th, and I the 6th. So we lie, side by side, in Bach. I always used to think Bach was a bore. Now he overwhelms me. He is so human, so full of moods and gentleness and wonderful tunes, and things so simple deep I play them over and over again, as once I used to copy drawings I liked. I think, perhaps I'll just try putting my arms round him and kissing him, no more. But he'd grow to like that. It would drag on. It's got to be a shock. All this business, it's bound up with my bossy attitude to life. I've always known where I'm going, how I want things to happen. And they have happened as I've wanted. And I've taken it for granted that they have because I know where I'm going. But I've been lucky in all sorts of things. I've always tried to happen to life. But it's time I let life happen to me. November 30th. Oh, God. I've done something terrible. I've got to put it down. Look at it. It's so amazing that I did it. That what happened, happened. That he is what he is. That I am what I am. Things left like this. Worse than ever before. I decided to do it this morning. I knew I had to do something extraordinary. To give myself a shock as well as him. I arranged to have a bath. I was nice to him all day. I dolled myself up after the bath. Oceans of Mitsuko. I stood in front of the fire, showing my bare feet for his benefit. I was nervous. I didn't know if I could go through with it, and having my hands bound. But I had 3 glasses of sherry quickly. I shut my eyes and went to work. I made him sit down, and then I sat down on his lap. He was so stiff, so shocked that I had to go on. If he'd clutched at me, perhaps I'd have stopped. I let the house coat fall open, but he just sat there with me on his lap, as if we'd never met before and this was some silly party game. 2 strangers at a party who didn't much like each other. In a nasty, perverted way, it was exciting. A woman in me reaching to a man in him. I can't explain. It was also the feeling that he didn't know what to do. That he was sheer virgin. There was an old lady of Cork who took a young priest for a walk. I must have been drunk. I had to force him to kiss me. He made a sort of feeble pretense of being afraid that he might lose his head. I don't care if you do, I said. And I kissed him again. He did kiss me back then, as if he wanted to press his wretched, thin, inhibited mouth right through my head. His mouth was sweet. He smelt clean, and I shut my eyes. It wasn't so bad. But then he suddenly went away by the window and he wouldn't come back. He wanted to run away, but he couldn't. So he stood by his desk, half-turned, while I knelt, half-naked by the fire, and let my hair down. Just to make it quite obvious. In the end, I had to go up to him and bring him back to the fire. I made him undo my hands. He was like someone in the trance. And then I undressed him, and I undressed myself. I said, "Don't be nervous. I want to do this. Just be natural." But he wouldn't. He wouldn't. I did everything I could. But nothing happened. He wouldn't thaw out. He did hold me tight once, but it wasn't natural. Just a desperate imitation of what he must think the real thing's like. Pathetically unconvincing. He can't do it. There's no man in him. I got up and were lying on the sofa and knelt by him and told him not to worry. Mud him. We put our clothes back on. And gradually it all came out, the truth about him, and later his real self. A psychiatrist has told him he won't ever be able to do it. He said he used to imagine us lying in bed together. Just lying, nothing else. I offered to do that, but he didn't want to. Deep down in him, side by side with the beastliness, the sourness, there is a tremendous innocence. It rules him. He must protect it. He said he loved me, even so. I said, what you love is your own love. It's not love, it's selfishness. It's not me you think of, but what you feel about me. I don't know what it is, he said. And then I made a mistake. I felt it had all been a sacrifice in vain. I felt I had to make him appreciate what I'd done, that he ought to let me go, so I tried to tell him. And his true self came out. He got beastly. Wouldn't answer me. We were further apart than ever. I said I pitied him and he flew at me. It was terrible. It made me cry. The terrible coldness. The inhumanity of it. Be his prisoner. Having to stay still. And realizing at last that this is what he is. Impossible to understand. What is he? What does he want? Why am I here if he can't do it? As if I'd lit a fire in the darkness to try and warm us, and all I'd done was to see his real face by it. The last thing I said was, we can't be further apart. We've been naked in front of each other. But we are. I feel better now. I'm glad nothing worse happened. I was mad to take the risk. It's enough to have survived. December 1st. He's been down. I've been out in the cellar, and it's absolutely plain. He's angry with me. He's never been angry like this before. This isn't a pet. It's a deep, suppressed anger. It makes me furious. Nobody could ever understand how much I put into yesterday. The effort of giving, of risking, of understanding, of pushing back every natural instinct. It's him, and it's this weird male thing. Now I'm no longer nice. They sulk if you don't give, and hate you when you do. Intelligent men must despise themselves for being like that. They're illogical. Sour men and wounded women. Of course, I've discovered his secret. He hates that. I've thought and thought about it. He must always have known he couldn't do anything with me. Yet all his talk about loving me. That must mean something. This is what I think it is. He can't have any normal pleasure from me. His pleasure is keeping me prisoner. Thinking of all the other men who would envy him if they knew. Having me. So my being nice to him is ridiculous. I want to be so unpleasant that he gets no pleasure from having me. I'm going to fast again. Have absolutely nothing to do with him. Strange ideas. But I've done, for the first time in my life, something original. Something hardly anyone else can have done. I steeled myself when we were naked. I learned what to steel oneself meant. The last of the Ladymont me. It's dead. I remember driving Pierre's car somewhere near Carcassonne. They all wanted me to stop, but I wanted to do 80, and I kept my foot down until I did. The others were frightened, so was I, but it proved I could do it. Late afternoon, reading The Tempest again all the afternoon. Not the same at all now what's happened has happened. The pity Shakespeare feels for his Caliban, I feel, beneath the hate and disgust for my Caliban. Half-creatures. Not honored with a human shape. Caliban, my slave, who ne'er yields us kind answer. Whom stripes may move, not kindness. Prospero, and lodge thee in mine own cell till thou didst seek to violate the honor of my child. Caliban, oh, wouldst had been done. Thou didst prevent me. I had peopled else this isle with Calibans. Prospero's contempt for him, his knowing that being kind is useless. Stefano and Trinculo, the football pools, their wine, the money he won. Act 3, Scene 2. I cried to dream again. Poor Caliban, but only because he never won the pools. I'll be wise hereafter. Oh, brave new world. Oh, sick new world. He's just gone. I said I would fast, unless he let me come upstairs. Fresh air and daylight every day. He hedged. He was beastly. Sarcastic. He actually said I was forgetting who was boss. He's changed. He frightens me now. I've given him until tomorrow morning to make up his mind. December 2nd. I'm to go upstairs. He's going to convert a room. He said it would take a week. I said, all right, but if it's another put-off... We'll see. I lay in bed last night and thought of GP. I thought of being in bed with him. I wanted to be in bed with him. I wanted the marvellous, the fantastic ordinariness of him. His promiscuity is creative, vital, even though it hurts. He creates love and life and excitement around him. He lives. The people he loves remember him. I've always felt like it sometimes, promiscuous. Anyone I see, even just some boy in the tube, some man, I think, what would he be like in bed? I look at their mouths, their hands, put on a prim expression, and think about them having me in bed. Even Toinette, getting into bed with anyone, I used to think it was messy. But love is beautiful, any love, even just sex. The only thing that is ugly is this frozen, lifeless, utter lack of love between Caliban and me. This morning, I was imagining I'd escaped and that Caliban was in court. I was speaking for him. I said his case was tragic. He needed sympathy and psychiatry. Forgiveness. I wasn't being noble. I despise him too much to hate him. It's funny. I probably should speak for him. I know we shouldn't be able to meet again. I could never cure him. Because I'm his disease. December 3rd. I shall go and have an affair with GP. I'll marry him if he wants. I want the adventure, the risk of marrying him. I'm sick of being young, inexperienced, clever at knowing but not at living. I want his children in me. My body doesn't count anymore. If he just wants that, he can have it. I couldn't ever be a Toinette, a collector of men. Being cleverer, as I thought, than most men, and cleverer than all the girls I knew, I always thought I knew more, felt more, understood more. But I don't even know enough to handle Caliban. All sorts of bits left over from Lady Mont days. From the days when I was a nice little middle-class doctor's daughter. They've gone now. When I was at Lady Mont, I thought I could manipulate a pencil very nicely. And then, when I went to London, I began to find I couldn't. I was surrounded by people who were just as skilled as I was, more so. I haven't begun to know how to handle my life. Or anyone else's. I'm the one who needs lame ducking. It's like the day you realize dolls are dolls. I pick up my old self, and I see it's silly. A toy I've played with too often. It's a little sad, like an old gollywog at the bottom of the cupboard. Innocent and used up, and proud, and silly. GP. I shall be hurt, lost, battered and buffeted. But it will be like being in a gale of light after this black hole. It's simply that. He has the secret of life in him. Something spring-like, not immoral. It's as if I'd only see him at twilight. Now, suddenly, I see him at dawn. He is the same, but everything is different. I looked in the mirror today, and I could see it in my eyes. They look much older and younger. Sounds impossible in words, but that's exactly it. I am older and younger. I'm older because I've learnt. I'm younger because a lot of me consisted of things older people had taught me. All the mud of their stale ideas on the shoe of me. The new shoe of me. The power of women. I've never felt so full of mysterious power. Men are a joke. We're so weak physically, so helpless with things, still, even today. But we're stronger than they are. We can stand their cruelty. They can't stand ours. I think I will give myself to GP. He can have me. And whatever he does to me, I shall still have my woman me he can never touch. All this is wild to talk, but I feel full of urges, new independence. I don't think about now. Today, I know I'm going to escape. I feel it. I can't explain. Caliban can never win against me. I think of paintings I shall do. Last night I thought of one. It was a sort of butter yellow, farm butter yellow field, rising to a white luminous sky, and the sun just setting. A strange rose pink. I knew it exactly. Full of hushed stillness. The beginning of things. Lark song without larks. Two strange contradictory dreams. The first one was very simple. I was walking in the fields. I don't know who I was with. But it was someone I liked very much. A man. GP, perhaps. The sun shining on young corn. And suddenly we saw swallows flying low over the corn. I could see their backs gleaming like dark blue silk. They were very low, twittering all around us, all flying in the same direction, low and happy. And I felt full of happiness. I said, "How extraordinary. Look at the swallows." It was very simple. The unexpected swallows and the sun and the green corn. I was filled with happiness, the purest spring feeling. Then I woke up. Later, I had another dream. I was at the window on the first floor of a large house, Ladymont, and there was a black horse below. It was angry, but I felt safe because it was below and outside. But suddenly it turned and galloped to the house, and to my horror, it leapt gigantically up and straight at me with bared teeth. It came crashing through the window. Even then I thought, it will kill itself, I'm safe. But it sprawled and flailed round in the small room, and I suddenly realized it was going to attack me. There was nowhere to escape. I woke up again. I had to put on the light. It was violence. It was all I hate and all I fear. December 4th. I shan't go on keeping a diary when I leave here. It's not healthy. It keeps me sane down here. Gives me somebody to talk to. But it's vain. You write what you want to hear. It's funny. You don't do that when you draw yourself. No temptation to cheat. It's sick. Sick, all this thinking about me. Morbid. I long to paint. And paint other things. Fields. Southern houses. Landscapes. Vast, wide-open things in vast, wide-open light. It's what I've been doing today. Moods of light recalled from Spain. Ochre walls burnt white in the sunlight. The walls of Avila. Cordoba courtyards. I don't try to reproduce the place, but the light of the place. Viet Lux. I've been playing the modern jazz quartet's records over and over again. There's no night in their music. No smoky dives. Bursts and sparkles and little fizzes of light. Starlight. And sometimes high noon. Tremendous everywhere light. Like chandeliers of diamonds floating in the sky. December 5th. GP. The Rape of Intelligence. By the moneyed masses. The new people. Things he says. They shock you, but you remember them. They stick. Hard. Meant to last. I've been doing skyscapes all day. I just draw a line an inch from the bottom, that's the earth. And then I think of nothing but the sky. June sky, December, August. Spring rain, thunder, dawn, dusk. I've done dozens of skies. Pure sky, nothing else. Just the simple line and the skies above. A strange thought. I would not want this not to have happened. Because if I escape, I should be a completely different, I think, better person. Because I don't escape, if something dreadful happened, I shall still know that the person I was and would have stayed if this hadn't happened was not the person I now want to be. It's like firing a pot. You have to risk the cracking and the warping. Caliban's very quiet. A sort of truce. I'm going to ask to go up tomorrow. I want to see if he's actually doing anything. Today, I asked him to bind me and gag me. And let me sit at the foot of the cellar steps with the door out, open. In the end, he agreed. So I could look up and see the sky. A pale, grey sky. I saw birds fly across. Pigeons, I think. I heard outside sounds. This is the first proper daylight I've seen for 2 months. It lived. It made me cry. December 6th. I've been up for a bath, and we've been looking at the Occupy. He has done some things. He's going to see if he can't find an antique Windsor chair. I drew it for him. It's made me feel happy. I'm restless. I can't write here. I feel half escaped already. The thing that made me feel he was more normal was this little bit of dialogue. We were standing in the room. Why don't you just let me come and live up here as your guest? If I gave you my word of honour. If 50 people came to me, real, honest, respectable people, and swore blind you wouldn't escape, I wouldn't trust them. I wouldn't trust the whole world. You can't go all through your life trusting no one. You don't know what being alone is. What do you think I've been this last 2 months? I bet a lot of people think about you, miss you. I might be dead for all anyone I knew ever cared. Your aunt? It was a silence. He suddenly burst out with it. You don't know what you are. You're everything. I've got nothing if you go. And there was a great silence. December 7th. He's bought the chair. Brought it down. It's nice. I wouldn't have it down here. I don't want anything from down here. A complete change. Tomorrow I'm going upstairs for good. I asked him afterwards last night, and he agreed. I haven't got to wait the whole week. He'd gone into Lewis to buy more things for the room. We're going to have a celebration supper. He's been much nicer these last 2 days. I'm not going to lose my head and try and rush out at the first chance. He'll watch me, I know. Can't imagine what he'll do. The window will be boarded and he'll lock the door. But there'll be ways of seeing daylight. Sooner or later there'll be a chance, if he doesn't let me go of his own accord to run for it. But I know it'll be only one chance. If he caught me escaping, he'd put me straight back down here. So it must be a really good chance. A sure one. I tell myself I must prepare for the worst. But something about him makes me feel that this time he will do what he has said. I've caught his cold. It doesn't matter. Oh, my God. My God. I could kill myself. He's going to kill me with despair. I'm still down here. He never meant it. He wants to take photographs. That's his secret. He wants to take my clothes off and... Oh, God, I never knew till now what loathing was. He said unspeakable things to me. I was a street woman. I asked for what he suggested. I went mad with rage. I threw a bottle of ink at him. He said that if I didn't do it, he'd stop me having baths or going out in the cellar. I'll be here all the time. The hate between us. It came seething out. I've caught his wretched cold. I can't think straight. I couldn't kill myself. I'm too angry with him. He's always abused me from the very beginning. That story about the dog. He uses my heart, then turns and tramples on it. He hates me. He wants to defile me and break me and destroy me. He wants me to hate myself so much that I destroy myself. The final meanness is not bringing me any supper. I'm to fast, on top of everything else. Perhaps he's going to leave me to starve. He's capable of it. I've got over the shock. He won't beat me. I won't give in. I won't be broken by him. I've got a temperature. I feel sick. Everything's against me, but I won't give in. I've been lying on the bed with GP's picture beside me, holding the frame in one hand like a crucifix. I will survive. I will escape. I will not give in. I will not give in. I hate God. I hate whatever made this world. I hate whatever made the human race, made men like Caliban possible and situations like this possible. If there is a God, he's a great loathsome spider in the darkness. He cannot be good. This pain, this terrible seeing through that is in me now, it wasn't necessary. It is all pain, and it buys nothing.
gives birth to nothing. All in vain. All wasted. The older the world becomes, the more obvious it is. The bomb and the tortures in Algeria and the starving babies in the Congo. It gets bigger and darker. More and more suffering for more and more. And more in vain. It's as if the lights are fused. I'm here in the black truth. God is impotent. He can't love us. He hates us because he can't love us. All the meanness and the selfishness and the lies. People won't admit it. They're too busy grabbing to see that the lights are fused. They can't see the darkness and the spider face beyond and the great web of it all. That there's always this if you scratch at the surface of happiness and goodness. The black and the black and the black. I've not only never felt like this before. I've never imagined it possible. More than hatred. More than despair. You can't hate what you cannot touch. I can't even feel what most people think of as despair. It's beyond despair. It's as if I can't feel any more. I see, but I can't feel. Oh, God, if there is a God. I hate beyond hate. He came down just now. I was asleep on top of the bed. Fever. Yeah, so stuffy. It must be flu. I felt so rotten, I said nothing. No energy to say my hate. The bed's damp. Oh, my chest hurts. I didn't say a word to him. It's gone beyond words. I wish I was a Goya. Could draw the absolute hate I have in me for him. I'm so frightened. I don't know what will happen if I'm really ill. I can't understand why my chest hurts. As if I'd had bronchitis for days. But he'd have to get a doctor. He might kill me, but he couldn't just let me die. Oh, God, this is horrible. End of side 15.